We've been looking at Joshua in his transition to change. Joshua has taken on leadership, and with leadership comes the ability, and you have to have the ability to change. Many of us want our lives to be a certain way. Many of you have heard the messages on change and you've decided, how many have started implementing some change in your life? And I want to say this to you, that change comes with challenges. So for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to show you, amen, a few things that few challenges that may come up when you decide that you're ready to change. And I want to say to somebody here this morning, if you're serious about change, you have to expect that you will face some form of challenges. Challenges can either transform you or discourage you. Challenges come in different forms. Challenges comes, amen, at the most inconvenient time. As a matter of fact, the moment that you decide to change, you better get ready, because something is going to come your way to cause you or to convince you that the change that you made. Come on, somebody. The first weeks, as I told you, was a little challenging for my wife and I. Come on, somebody. And it's amazing, because I said to myself, I said, man, did we make the right decision? But God will validate to you that the decision that you made was correct because of the challenges that you face. Change, because watch this, because the moment that you decide to change, if it doesn't come with a challenge, then something is wrong with that change. As a matter of fact, you move from change to convenience. I wish I had somebody. And I want to say this, many people quit. They turn back. They go back to their comfort zone at the first sign of a challenge, at the first sign of resistance. We don't like resistance. None of us like resistance. Amen. And listen, and when you have a made-up mind, though, amen, when you have a made-up mind, no matter what you come up against, you will change. I told you last week, amen, that one of the things that you must do with change is that you must respond to change. You must be committed to change. You must have a level of trust in order to change. And not only that, but you must be obedient. There has to be a level of obedience, because if you don't have a level of obedience, then you'll start going back. You'll start, amen, forgetting why you have implemented this change in your life. Do I have anybody? May I say this to you this morning? The enemy wants you to stay the same. He wants you to go back to where you came from. He wants you to stay paralyzed and stay in the same place. He wants you, amen, not to trust God. He wants you, hallelujah, to stay in the same predicament that you're in, and he wants you to believe that you will always be the same. But I declare to you, amen, that this is a year of change. My aim today is to help you to recognize and overcome the challenges that come with change. Last week I preached from chapter 1. And then we find ourselves in chapter 2. If you just flip to chapter 2 real quick. Just want to read the first verse and I'll give you my first point. He says that now remember, Joshua was ready for change. Verse 16 of chapter 1. But in chapter 2, we had, well, the first thing we find in chapter 2 is we find a challenge. You know, remember, he said that in 3 days we're going to pick up. Y'all remember that? 3 days we're going to gather everything up, get the officers. get the officers and get everybody ready, go around the camp and get everybody ready. We're going to change. We're getting ready to cross this Jordan. But what I found is that, and chapter 2 is very important because God used the whole chapter to share some information with us. Now in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men, watch this, as spies secretly from where? From Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially what? Jericho. I wish I had somebody. Especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Now, here's the picture. They're getting ready to go into Canaan. But what's standing between them and Canaan is a challenge. What's the challenge? The challenge is, the first point is, the first challenge is not knowing what's on the other side. I'm going somewhere. Listen, I don't know what's on the other side of this. I don't know what's on the other side of my decision. I don't know what's on the other side of my change. If you leave your job tomorrow, come on somebody, what's on the other side of that? That's why it's important to have a connection with God so he can send some people in, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost that is, to see what's really going on. And so I believe that's the first challenge that Joshua faced. But how did Joshua face that challenge? He sent some people. In other words, before you go make a change, send somebody or go investigate. Some of us keep saying, oh, well, you know, the Lord told me. If the Lord told you, then he will give you wisdom so that you can have somebody to go check it out for you. You don't go buy a car without checking it out, do you? You don't buy a house without getting an inspection, do you? And so we're getting ready to make a critical change in our lives. Remember, we're leaving the borders of our blessings. Come on, somebody. And we're about to go in and get it. And so what the writer says is that Joshua, using wisdom, sent in some spies, watch this, to make sure that everything was going to be all right. And can I tell you something? Rahab, amen, out of everybody in the city, see, God is so awesome. See, it's the people that we look over. It's the people that we look down on are the ones who will be on the other side of your change to help you. As a matter of fact, Rahab comes through the lineage of Jesus. Had they not went in, had they not went into Jericho and find out what's going on, they would have never met Rahab. But I thank God, hallelujah, that Rahab was met in Jericho because God knows what the plan really is. Are you with me? I want you to go to verse 8 of chapter 2, and he says, remember, when they went into the city, people heard about these Israelites are here. Now, here's the thing. Watch this now. Here's what you don't know about. Listen, I'm going to share this with somebody. You're scared of change. You know what you're scared of? You're scared of what's on the other side. But what you don't realize is this. They're more afraid of you than you're afraid of them. Look at verse 8. Watch this. It says, now before they lay down, she came up to them. Now, let me give you the picture. Rahab brought them in her house. She hid them, right? Because they started looking for them, right? So before they lay down that night, she came to them in the verse 9 and said to the men, I know, watch this now. Remember, Rahab had lived there all her life. They had never been there. Watch this. And he says, I know that the Lord has given you, oh, shucks. The Lord has what? Given you the land, and that the terror of you, come on somebody, had fallen what? On us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard, come on somebody, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. And watch this, before you, and when you came out of Egypt, and how you did to the two kings of the Amorites, and were beyond the Jordan to Shiloh and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. May I say something to you? It's time for change. And let me tell you why. Because you have a reputation on this side that God has been with you. You can look back over your life. You know why we can make that move? Because when we look over our life, we ain't talking about the money. We're not talking about money. We're talking about the God that has been with us all these 17 years. I'm going somewhere. And the God who's been with us for 17 years will be the same God that will see us through over into Canaan. And so what you don't realize, the second point is, watch this, the next challenge, the second challenge is wondering what people may think. You better stop that. You better stop thinking about what people are thinking about you. You better stop thinking about what people are thinking, and you need to step up and change your life. Do I have anybody? I wish I had somebody this morning. Amen. They said they heard of you. They heard about what the Lord has done in your life. They've heard how he picked you up, how he turned you around, how he placed your feet on the side. He heard that when your enemies came up against you, the Lord protected you. They heard, hallelujah, that when foreclosure came and you made it through that, you made it through bankruptcy, you made it through the courthouse, you made it through the White House, you made it everywhere. They've heard. And what we're so concerned about is what people think. That's the reason why we haven't changed our clothes lately, our wardrobe. We haven't changed our cars. We're doing the same thing because we care what people think too much. But what you don't realize, they fear you more than you fear them. See, she said, now hold on, y'all. Verse 23, it says, then the two men returned, and watch this now, and they came from the hill country, and crossed over to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they related all to him that happened to them. Now watch this. This is what I call proper planning for change. You follow what I'm saying? They got the report back. See, what I think, let me just stop here for a minute. Listen, I think that we operate our lives not based upon God's opinion, but other people's opinions. I believe that we're trying to make ourselves look a certain way because of other people. But you got to know who you are. You got to know that you are a child of God. You got to know that you have the blessings of Abraham, that nobody can curse you, because let me tell you something, baby, you've been redeemed. You've been set free. You've been liberated from all that mess. And so they brought the report. Look what they said, though. They said to Joshua, surely. See, when you know it's faith. Listen, had they not sent in the spies, they would not have gained the confidence to cross the Jordan, but to face that challenge that stood between them and their change. May I ask you a question? What's standing between you and your change? What challenges are you facing right now? And I want to tell you something. If it's not knowing what's on the other side, baby, get in your car and drive over there. Go dream a little. Come on, somebody. Go on the park, go on the car lot and say, let me test drive this thing here. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Let me go hook up with a realtor and check out this house. Let me see what it looked like on the inside. Because what you don't know is that, you know what? It was 12 years God had me work in this area before I even lived in this area. I don't think you're trying. I don't think you're hearing me. I used to drive ice cream truck out here. Matter of fact, where the Kroger is, I opened a bank account across the street at Regions 12 years ago. I wanted a bank account way away from where I live so I could save some money. Not knowing that 12 years later, oh, I wish I had somebody, I would be in this neighborhood, living in this neighborhood, pastoring in this neighborhood. See, God, sometimes you got to step out. Not sometimes, you got to step out of your comfort zone and go explore some stuff. And you'll realize that it wasn't as hard as you thought it was going to be. Come on, somebody. Listen, I was talking to a lady the other day. She said, Pastor, it ain't that hard. Amen. It ain't that hard if you want to get another house. It ain't that hard. Come on, somebody. You know, we listen to what people say. Come on, somebody, and listen, and they say, well, it's going to be hard to get that because your credit is this. She said they got all kinds of programs and all kinds of this, and then I just met a guy who can fix your credit. Come on, somebody, who can really clean it up for you. I don't think you're hearing me. What I'm trying to say is take some faith moves. Step up. Step out. And stop allowing what people may think stop you from walking into your destiny. Watch this. Watch what he says. Verse 24. Watch verse 24. They said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hand. Moreover, all the inhabitants, watch this, of the land have melted away. Come on, somebody. Before us. Can I ask you something? Amen. See, what was standing between that change was the people, the river, and Jericho. Amen. And you have something standing in your way right now. Oh, I wish I had somebody. What is it? You got to find out what that is. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 1. Amen. We got to move on quickly. Then Joshua did what? After he got the news, what did he do? Did he charge? Did he go forward? So you got to be wise. What did he do? He rose early in the morning. He rose early in the morning. And he and all the sons of Israel, watch this now. Now remember, he did not move until he got the news. Are y'all with? Y'all following me? He did not move until he got the news. But the text says he set out that morning from Shittim. Now this word Shittim, the Hebrew word means a chill wood. It's where they got the wood to make the Ark of the Covenant, which I'll introduce you to next week. The Ark of the Covenant is where God's presence was. The word and the presence of God was there. It was holy of holy. Now watch this. But where they were situated was the valley. They didn't tell you this, but I'm telling you. It was the valley of Shittim. And I want to say to somebody here, the next challenge that you may face, the third challenge, is the valleys. Oftentimes, we get stuck, hallelujah, in the valley of life. The valley is where they were, but the valley is probably where you are. But remember what the text says. They launched out from the valley. You see, great things come out of the valley. Come on, somebody. Listen, the Bible says, even though I walk through the valley. You see, they did not make the valley a permanent place, but a place where they can set up an ambush against their enemies. Do I have anybody? I want to say to you this morning that you got to be careful that you do not become comfortable in your valleys. Because right before your change comes your valleys. And I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You've been through the valley, but you've bought real estate in the wrong place. You should buy real estate on the other side of your valley. See, the valley is a dark place. The valley, hallelujah, is a low place. As a matter of fact, you know what you learn in the valley? You learn to be humble in the valley. The valley, hallelujah, will humble you, because water flows to the lowest places. And I want to say to somebody here this morning, before your change comes, you got to go through the valley. You can either make the valley a challenge, or you can be transformed through your valley. I thank God for my valleys. I thank God that I've been through the valley. I thank God that even when I became comfortable in the valley, it's amazing, because it's so dark in the valley, it becomes a place, hallelujah, where you become dormant. It becomes a place where stuff can't grow in the dark. I wish I had somebody. You can't grow in the valley. You can't praise in the valley. But thank God that I realized that change had to come. And it was time for me to step out of that valley. And you got to step out of that valley. The valley of Shittim. They had become comfortable, but they were ready to move forward. You got to get ready to move forward. You got to rise early in the morning. After you get confirmation, it's time now to move forward. Are you with me? Now watch this now. Now here's the deep thing about it. They left the valley, and what does the text say? They came. What did the text say? They came to the what? Oh, that's a key point. You just don't miss that. That's a key point. See, sometimes, even when you get good news that, yeah, they're going to melt before you, and you're ready to come out of that challenge, guess what happened? You face another challenge. So they went from the valley, oh, Lord. I feel my help here, to the Jordan. I'm trying to get over to the other side, but I wasn't expecting the Jordan in front of me. So that next point is, the fourth challenge is, your Jordan may look like your Red Sea. I wish I had somebody. But your Jordan should remind you of your Red Sea. Your Jordan should remind you that it was God, oh, I wish I had you, that parted the Red Sea when you came up against it. The first time you implemented change, you came to your Red Sea. The second time you implemented change, you came to your Jordan. I wish I had somebody. You see, God has a way of opening both of them. But I'll deal with that next week about crossing your Jordan. But you got to be careful that you don't forget what the Lord did. Help me out. Amen. At the Red Sea. He opened the doors, hallelujah, of the church to you. Hallelujah. He opened up the Red Sea. You see, Pharaoh was behind you. Come on, somebody. God changed the heart of Pharaoh. And when they got to the Red Sea, they started to complain, and they started to say, we should have stayed in Egypt. You see what I'm trying to tell you? You don't want to repeat the mistakes of your past. You don't want to treat your Jordan, hallelujah, like your Red Sea. But you can't forget what the Lord did when he opened up those doors for you. When you came to a dead end in life, and God says, I'm going to open it up for you, you can cross on over. See, he didn't say that you wasn't going to face more challenges in life, but I thank God that this challenge came because I decided that I'm going to change my life. Thank God for the Jordan River. Thank God for the Jordan, because it reminds me of what I've been through. And it reminds me that the same God that did it before is the same God that can do it again. Do I have anybody in here that know he can open that door for you? He can part that Red Sea. He can change you. He can transform you. They came to the Jordan. They left the valley to come to the Jordan. But here's the thing that I want to show you next, and I'm done. Watch what he said. He says, and they lodged there before they crossed. My last point. The fifth challenge is becoming comfortable again. Either you're going to cross it or you're going to become comfortable. And if you become comfortable, you're going to stay the same. No change will come in your life. If you get to your Jordan and you lodge there too long, next week I'll show you how to cross your Jordan. But I want to say to somebody here today, you've been facing the challenges, but you become comfortable again. Don't you get comfortable again. Don't you stay stuck. And I tell you why. Because the same God that opened that Red Sea for you is the same God. Hallelujah. That can bring you through. The same God that bring you through that valley. Same God that got you thinking what people got you over what people were thinking. Do you know that's a big one? You know that's a big challenge for change? What, you know why we didn't tell nobody? We had to pray. Because I don't know, you know, here's the thing. And then I was just thinking, I said, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But God said, why are you thinking about what people think? Either they're going to pray for you, or they're going to hate on you. But either way, God is for you. God is for us. God is for you. And God will bring you through, but you got to get ready. You can't stay the same. In other words, you know what I'm trying to say about change? You have to change spiritually too. You have to change spiritually. You can't be thinking the old way. Listen, you're getting ready to go handle blessings. Hallelujah. Listen, I can't give you no blessings if you keep thinking, oh, this is mine. And just because people are intimidated by you because God's giving you favor, listen, people don't have to be afraid of you. But God puts the fear of God in them, and they're like, yeah, sure, here, come on, open doors. God started opening doors. But I want to say this to you. It's time for change. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for change. It's time. Time for change. It's time. It's time. Listen, challenges will come. It will come. What did I talk about last week? But what did I talk about change? Implementing change. And from the moment that you made up in your mind you're going to do it, guess what started happening? Everything started, challenges start. That's why the Lord gave it to me like this. The challenges, from the moment that you said yes, challenges start coming. People start coming. You're afraid what's on the other side of this thing. Listen, can I tell you something? What's standing between you, the valley or the Jordan? What's standing between your change, the valley or the Jordan? Oh, I'm sorry. People, the valley or the Jordan? Put it in that order. The people, the valley, or the Jordan? What's standing in between your change? Why won't you commit to God? He's been committed to you. Amen. As I close today, I want to encourage you today. that today could be your day. Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to face these challenges. Listen, you've been avoiding them too long. Listen, it may be a character thing that you're dealing with. Seriously. It's amazing how much stuff we don't know. But it's amazing that we serve a God who will reveal all of it to us. You know, I can walk around saying everything is okay. I just revealed my life to you all. I didn't have to do that. But here's what I feel. I feel that we've given our lives to this work. And I believe that God is going to bless this church. Oh, man. But we're going to remain very humble. Very, very humble. Very, very humble. And what we're going to do is we're going to help people to change their lives. Can I ask you today, what's standing between you and your change?